Hey, welcome in. Welcome in, you beautiful fucking people. My name is Kyle. We're here, as always, on the Oh No Disc Golf podcast. This is episode 57. Joining me today is my best friend in the entire world, Eric.
What's up, everybody? You don't have to answer that, because I know you mean it, but excited for you guys to listen.
If this is your first time here, welcome in. If this is not your first time here, enjoy. Continue to give us good reviews or whatever you like to do, you beautiful fucking person. Eric, what's your random tangent of the day?
Well, we're going to go back to good old reliable and make sure you practice putt, please, for if not for me, for yourself. I just got done with putting leagues and it went horribly because I didn't practice for like 2 weeks on practice putting and it showed. And that's okay. I'll get them next time. But save yourself the embarrassment.
Right. At the same time, it's like, man, I should have just practiced.
Well, I'm tearing apart my garage right now, so I'm using that
excuses as my excuse. Excuses are excuses, Eric. Excuses are excuses.
Oh, and watch out for mud. While I'm talking about the things that went wrong to me this week, practice putt and watch out for mud.
Like, when you're throwing, watch out for mud?
At any time. Any time. I just slipped in the mud walking, so just watch out. It's out there to get you.
Mud sucks.
You think we're done with, like, the slippery business because the ice is gone and then the mud sneaks up and it gets you.
Use the code ONO to get free shipping over at our merch store. We have our merch over at Teespring. You can also use the code ONO20 over at frictiongloves.com to go get some disc golf gloves. They are wonderful. They have warm editions and summer editions, so keep your grip consistent all year round. That's ONO20 for 20% off. Also, head on over to DiscBaron.com. That's DiscBaron.com and use the code ONO10 for 10% off. They have all of your disc golf, whatever you need. Discs, disc golf accessories, you name it, they have it. DiscBaron.com, ONO10, 10% off. Also, if you get a chance, there's social medias. We're on everything at ONO Disc Golf.
We have a wonderful episode for you today, episode 57. We finally get to talk about the first tournament of the year, the Las Vegas Challenge. It's been eating me. Is that the word? Maybe not. Maybe not eating me. It's been killing me.
It's been to not eating talk about it Eric with something. Alive.
We also had a wonderful guest all the way from New Zealand. Braden came on and chatted with us. And our top five, we decided to tell everyone what we think the Disc Golf Network did right this weekend. Trying to keep it positive, because they improved.
Don't get us wrong, we have constructive criticisms, but
we always do. So yes, it was the Las Vegas Challenge this weekend.
Yay! Live disc golf.
Live disc golf and Jomez Pro and Gatekeeper and GK Pro and
so much content.
Practice rounds. Practice rounds are back.
Practice rounds. Man. Oh, that was great.
Yep.
I cuddled up with my dog Taco and it was just great. We got to watch so much disc golf.
Yeah, there was a lot to watch, a lot to consume, especially if you subscribe to Disc Golf Network and watch all the live rounds on top of all the post-produced. Some things, I think next year, and I think it's been rumored, I don't know if anything is for sure yet. I think it'd be better, and it's a rumor that they are, is only do two courses instead of the three. Maybe not everyone will think that is cool, but I would think that would be cool. Paul McBeth would too, so.
I don't know, man.
If the courses were, like, drastically different, I could understand wanting to keep more courses, but they're not, like...
They are all so similar.
Yeah, like, I mean, one course might get boring, but if they, like, start off on one course, go to another one, then back to the other one, and, you know, it might be... I think it would personally be better. I don't think it would make such a difference that, you know, everyone's going to like it again.
I was just excited and happy that there was disc golf.
I mean, everyone complains that LVC is just a Heiser Fest, just a Heiser Fest, just a Heiser Fest. But I'm, for the most part, fairly okay with it. Like, it's...
There's a lot of OB. I feel like there was a lot of, like, smart pin locations and...
Making the putting exciting.
Yeah. Well, some of it was a little bit off-putting. Like, having OB 2 inches behind the frickin' basket or something. Like... You literally have to lay up, almost, like, make it so you can actually putt effectively, but, yeah.
I think what I don't like about what they do with the OB sometimes is it's like, I can't think of any specific holes, but they make some golf greens out of bounds and some not, and I feel like it should just be one consistent, all golf greens are out of bounds or not type thing. And I know that that might be tougher than it's... is just saying it, you know, but
yeah, I feel like from a course design perspective that might be really difficult.
I feel like they have enough room that they could figure it out, but again, nothing is so bad for me.
Go punch the course director in the face, Eric.
They need to change it, like, right now or anything.
They need to change it right now. You heard it here first.
Anyway, FPO was an amazing battle. They had so many good players. I think it was the highest rated FPO field to ever play a tournament, along with, like, we got to see the highest rated FPO card ever play.
Pretty freaking sweet.
Really excited to see how things change as the season goes forward. Who ends up on top, who battles it out for tournaments. Really excited to see all the Europeans over here. Kristen, Evelina, Henna. Oh, man, I was going to try to pronounce her name, and then I forgot what it was. Man, she's from Norway. She did her...
I got nothing on that.
She did her... She even was... She was a... They interviewed her, and they said her name, and I was like, oh, I got to remember that. Anyway, excited to see her. Super pumped that Julie came down from Canada and shot an absolutely amazing round. The second day, she was only beat out by Kat, who shot an 11 down. She shot a 10 under, which was awesome. It bumped her up like 20 some spots at least. Wow. That was crazy. Yeah, so again, really exciting start to the FPO season. A lot of girls came out to play.
Lots of fun to watch.
Yeah, excited to see how some of the ones who didn't perform as well this tournament will get it turned around for the next one or the one after that.
It's a long season.
Yes, yes it is. In the top three, we had Kristen Tatar at third at 25 under. Paige Pierce came in second at 29 under. And the only person who can beat Paige, just kidding, there's lots of people who can, is Katrina Allen with her new sponsor, DGA, taking it down at 30 under. What, it was a missed putt on hole 18 that gave her the win, I think, right?
Missed upshot.
Okay.
I think her upshot went OB.
Ooh, that's rough.
Pretty sure.
Man, that's rougher than a missed putt, because it's like, you don't even, you know, like...
Yeah, it wasn't even really a chance, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's over now. Yeah. I don't know about the rest of the days. I know day three, the girls on the lead card were having a blast. They were all just laughing and smiling. It was, because I feel like normally when I think of a Paige Pierce and Kat card, is there's so much competition that, not that they're not having fun, they just don't show it as much. So it was
awesome.
Yeah, see everyone smiling and just, I mean, you could just tell they were having a blast.
That is good.
Yeah, I feel like if I had to guess, with having European females over there, they don't feel like it's just them two that can battle it out kind of thing.
Right.
So it's kind of like how once the field got better on the MPO side, it wasn't just Ricky versus Paul McBeth all the time. So they were able to kind of go back to enjoying it rather than just competing. Not that they're not competing at their highest levels. Obviously, they put up huge numbers.
Yep, you heard it here first. Eric's saying it's all fixed.
It is. It's all fixed, just like football.
Illuminati. It's real. If you want to hear more about this, listen to our other podcast.
We don't have a name for it yet. Name redacted.
Yeah, how about just redacted?
There you go. Over on the MPO side, exciting, exciting, exciting start to the season. I don't even want to say more until I announce the top three, and then we'll talk about it. That Let's way I don't it. Give yeah, any spoilers. Calvin came in third at 36 under. Gannon Burr and Drew Gibson tied for first at 39 under, and it took them four? I think it was 1, 3, 5, and 7, I think on 7. Yeah, so 4 playoff holes for Drew to come out on the top over Gannon Burr. Yeah, just it was one missed putt away from continuing, which
he'd been, he was on fire.
Yeah, making putts from everywhere. Like, anywhere. I mean, like, we talked about Eagles putt at the All-Star Challenge as being, like, and it still is a good putt. Don't let me take away from that. But Gannon Burr was insane.
Putting with confidence.
Yeah, just looked from like a knees, machine. From freaking, yeah, it was disgusting. So super excited to see
a 16-year-old kid.
Yeah. And if he gets taller, then
we're all doomed.
Yeah. And he's got everything. He's got a good forehand. He's got a good backhand. He's got putting. He can scramble. He can
jump putt.
Yeah. I mean, his jump putt, he's like literally reaching in the basket from like 35 feet away. He's like jumping.
It's quite a step putt.
Slam dunking in the basket because he's
his so form is so tall. Simple and replicable. Like,
and most of it, you can see he's not even throwing like full blast. I don't know if we ever watched him throw like full, you know, power shots. He like never gets to full like reach back or reach. Like, I don't know. It doesn't look like it. I could be wrong.
Maybe he just doesn't have much of a reach back.
Yeah, but I feel like he can even get more distance. I think he can.
Calvin had some putting struggles inside the circle, which was kind of a bummer. He was leading the tournament at one point.
Oh, yeah. Calvin had some putting woes, that's for sure. Yep. Hotshots kind of wanted to see Calvin win, but what are you going to do? It's always next 2 weeks from now.
Oh, we didn't even talk about Paige Pierce's real quick. Dude, she had one where it was like off the basket, roll away, another 35-foot putt. Now this and is for par.
Cashed it.
Yeah. No, another one off the thing again, rolled away again, and it was like, holy shit, she's having trouble. Like,
yeah, was that round 3, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I remember that now. I forgot about that. Pushed it out of my mind. Yeah, pushed it out of my memory.
And she came back from it wonderfully. She's like a bounce back person to a millionth degree, but
for sure. Ain't nothing keeping her down.
It's like me watching Will putt, and he's just like going back and forth and back and forth. And it's just like, dude, just lay up. Like, just.
He's like, I already fuck missed that. The putt this many times.
Yeah, what's it going to be? An 8? Congratulations, Drew Gibson.
Yep. Congratulations, Kat. That's a good opening season, opening tournament for Squatch because they sponsor both of those players.
Go Squatch. Beef Squatch.
And fire rounds. We got to pick that this week. Kyle picked on the first day everything right on the FPO side and got 5 points from that. And he picked Drew Gibson to shoot the hottest round of the weekend, which was negative 13 on the second day. And then like 5 or 6 people shot a negative 13 on the fourth and final day. Yeah, 13 was the number. He didn't pick 13, though. We guessed way better. We thought they were going to come out and just shoot lights out. So,
Could have happened.
You know, it could have happened. We had Adam Hammes show in the front 9 on the final day, shot a 9 for 9. So
could have happened if Big Sledge continued.
Adam Hammes, I think, is going to have a good season. He had two really good rounds, but just couldn't put together two more really good rounds. Anyway, Kyle's leading 18-7 now in fire rounds. And our next tourney on the books is Waco, and that starts March 11th. So a week and a half-ish. So super pumped for that. Super pumped for Waco because it's one of my favorite tournaments. Really quickly, before we get into the interview, I want to talk a little bit about Disc Baron. They have a ton of stock of almost every major company you could think of. They take pictures and weights of every single disc. There is free shipping on all orders in the lower 48 states of the United States. And they also help you out and give you a small description of each disc to let you know how flat or domey each disc is, or if it's from a special run, you know, fundraiser runs or...
Ooh, that sounds helpful.
It is. It's like, it's nice. So check them out. Use code ONO10. Help out the show. Now to the interview. For this week's guest, from all the way on the other side of the world, our first international guest, Bray Marsden. Bray, how's it going?
Bray, how are you?
We're good. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. This is exciting.
Yeah, I'm super pumped to have you. Kyle is too, obviously.
Excited to have you here too, yeah.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do in the disc golf world?
Okay, I've been playing for just over 3 years. I picked it up with a couple mates one day. I knew there was a course in my city. I'd never been to it or bothered to play. And we just went and done it one day when we were hungover and needed something to do. And I really enjoyed it. And I knew a guy that played more often and I told him I enjoyed it. So he dragged me along.
Such a perfect, excellent hangover game to play.
Yeah.
When definitely. You're first getting into it.
We didn't know what we were doing. Like,
oh, absolutely.
I remember like wherever my disc landed, I would take the biggest step forward I could while having 1 foot behind the disc because I was like, oh, I'll try to get as much distance as I can. And throwing it 20 meters, so like 60 feet down the fairways.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I picked it up and I loved it. And I entered my first tournament 3 weeks after that.
Oh, jumped right in.
Yeah. Got a PDGA number, just dove in, balls to the wall, came like third last. Loved it. My first card was with like the second highest rated player in New Zealand. I just watched and learned off him. And he was on Team Innova at the time. And I've actually just been picked up by Team Innova this year. So that's how the journey's gone so far.
3 years, man. That's sick. You want to tell us quickly just about the Innova team? And like, you know, congratulations, first of all.
Thank you. It was something I was working towards. I represent a company in New Zealand called NZDSS, and they have ties to Innova because they're an importer and a retailer over here.
Okay.
And they try to get some of the boys in New Zealand noticed by the overseas companies because it's hard. Yeah, you know, like it's hard. We're just a little country. So they've got an international team, obviously, and New Zealand's taken up about 8 or 9 spots on that team now, which is good. And I'm one of them. So I'm really, really chuffed with that.
Yeah.
So you're saying
congratulations,
there's a lot of good golfers in New Zealand. That's what you're telling me.
There is. There definitely is. It's quite weird. Like the PDGA ratings would suggest that there is no good disc golfers in New Zealand, but the pros that have been over here, like, Lazotte's played nationals here. Is it Manabu? He's been over here. Jeremy Colling's played nationals over here. Like, and they were taken to the limit. You know, there was only a couple shots in it and whatnot. And those are the 1,030 rated players getting pushed by these little Kiwi boys over here.
Yeah, so I kind of feel like the rating system is almost broken for, like, smaller areas just because...
I agree, yep.
It's you guys constantly kind of beating each other, so then nobody really gets like a jump up in the ratings. So
That's, yep, I agree. It's, you know, 1,000 scratch, and there's a lot of 1,000 rated rounds shot in New Zealand, but nobody creeps above 1,000 rated. I feel like there's a kid that is about to. I know that's one of the things we'll probably go over, but he's about to take over the world.
Oh, yeah, Swick.
Yeah. But, yeah, like there is a lot of good disc golfers in New Zealand, and we are a small community, like less than 1,000, well, probably less than 500 tour players, and you know what I mean?
Right.
But recreational players, there is a shit ton.
Okay.
Did it kind of explode in the same way? Well, like over the pandemic, just the past couple of years, there's been tremendous growth here.
Yeah, exactly the same. I think it's the same everywhere. As soon as 2019 ended and 2020 started and that pandemic hit, disc golf just blew up.
So you kind of told us when you were definitely hooked on disc golf. That was almost right away. What you said?
Instant.
Yeah, yep. You said the first course was in your city. Do you want to talk a little bit about that first course you played and like how it is now compared to when you first started?
Yep. So if this course is tiny, it's 18 holes. We have, I relate everything in meters.
That's
so
fine. I'm, you can say meters.
100% sure.
We'll figure it out.
Cool. So I know a wee bit about feet comparison. So like we have par fours that are 90 meters at this course.
Okay.
So that's,
yeah,
less than 300
feet.
Yeah,
under 300 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a wooded course. It's beautiful, but it is little. So, you know, my first ever round was, I think, plus 18, 20 over par. And now I can comfortably get around there 10 under, between 10 and 16 under. So, and it's just a pitch and putt.
Right. Those are always fun to play, though.
Yeah. Like I've done 400, 500 rounds there now, according to UDisc.
Oh, wow.
I absolutely love that.
Yeah. We are in the process of, we've got the baskets in and the tee pads and the signage is coming, of building a championship caliber course right beside it on the ball golf course. So that's going to be epic. You've got the family friendly course and then you've got the championship caliber right beside it.
Well, congratulations on that.
That is so exciting.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a mission, but the golf club is very eager to have disc golf on their golf course, which is good.
Do you play ball golf too, or strictly frisbees?
I used to not properly or anything, just for fun, right, with my granddad, you know, for spend sure some time with him. Yeah, and then so yeah, we've got one course, one on the way. That's it. Just, you know, small town living.
Right.
What was like the nearest course that was a little bit more challenging, would you say?
About 200 kilometers away, so 130 miles. Queenstown. I don't know if you've ever heard of Queenstown, or if any of your listeners have ever heard of Queenstown, but Queenstown is like the paradise of New Zealand. It's a tourist hotspot.
Okay.
Skiing, lake, beautiful mountains, everything. And that's got a course on the beach that's challenging, and that was my first experience of a harder, longer course, and I loved it.
It sounds fun. I mean,
yeah,
definitely challenging but fun.
it is quite a distance. I don't travel frequently to it, but
that's putting in the championship course.
Yeah, definitely. We just do field work down here, quite a lot of us, you know. We have a big field right beside the course here, so you know, you play around and you end up on the field throwing for half an hour to an hour after a round anyway.
So approximately how far can you throw, since we're talking about field work? Like
averaging 110 with fairways to, you know, 130, 135. Gotcha. With distance drivers. So not far, not like, to me that's not far. You know, that's just average,
right,
good disc golf
far distance. Enough.
Yeah. Like far, yeah, definitely far enough for the courses we have here.
Would you consider yourself more of like the technical kind of thrower then?
Or yes.
Like,
yeah.
Okay.
I love my flip ups and my flexes and stuff. I love putting.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Are you more comfortable inside the circle or out?
Definitely in. I'm comfortable anywhere within 100 feet, because it's not comfortable that I'm going to make it, but comfortable that if I miss, it's going to be bullseye. If not, 20 feet out, you know what I mean?
Right. You can make the tap-ins, you can make the comebacks.
Yeah, yeah. You know, tap and par is better than circle's edge par save.
Yep.
Are you a spin putter or a push putter? Or is it like a mix?
It's a sploosh.
Split. I do the same.
It's a sploosh. Yep. It's a controlled sploosh, but it's a sploosh.
How many courses are in the country? Is it just, it can't be just the two, but.
You know. I'll tell you, I have Udiscut right now. I'll just have a quick nosy. So there's 30 to 40 proper 18 hole basketed courses.
Okay.
Not bad. Oh, there might even be more now. It might almost be about 50 looking at this map. Yeah. And there's probably another 50 courses that are either nine baskets or object or pop up areas, right, and, you know, whatnot. There's a course.
People's backyards.
Yeah, pretty much. I know a guy in the North Island runs a tournament in his backyard because he has a nine hole course and he can run a tournament there. It's epic.
Must be nice.
That's the dream.
Yep. I'll give him a shout out. His name's Ryan Kiddo, and he hosts everybody at his property, lets them camp for the weekend, puts on a fire, puts on a feed.
Oh, wow. Just,
hospitality.
Birdies and breakfast.
That's right. And barbecue.
Oh, barbecue. Yeah.
Sounds like a badass guy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he's a good dude.
That's okay. So for the people who don't know the size of where you're at, the country, could you give a comparison? Just so like 50 courses in that much area, trying to get an idea of how, you know what I mean?
Yep. So New Zealand's population's like, I think just under 5 million, like the whole country.
And sorry to make you do an entire like New Zealand like history. No,
it's
little
good.
Thing.
No, it's good. It's,
but
know,
I feel got, like people won't know, and it might be helpful for them.
No, definitely. Size-wise, New Zealand's probably just smaller than the size of California, according to Google.
Okay. That's.
For the whole country, yeah. Lots of mountains, trees, shitty roads.
Hey, well, that's Michigan. Shitty roads. Yeah,
the climate's ridiculous. You know, you can have, we're in Celsius, so 30 degrees Celsius days, and then, you know, the next will be 10. In winter, it's always below freezing. Wicked country, though. Safe, beautiful country.
Aren't in winter right now, correct?
No, we're just ending summer.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah, I'm in winter right now, and it has been nothing but snow, and it's over it.
That's what happens. When you get your bad snowy winters, we get our beautiful hot summers, and we've just had a ripper of a summer.
Oh, man.
Their first good summer in about 4 years, to be fair.
That's going to fuck with you and your people traveling like from Estonia and stuff for even just playing like all the FBO European players. It's got to be difficult as shit to like come from a different country in a different climate entirely.
To play like LVC.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I was just following the scores. I watched round one. You know, the European players are coming over and they have to adapt to all the American climate, you know, the culture, and they're out there killing it on the course. It's good to see.
And then you think that I'm pretty sure they're in like a worse winter than any place over here. So where have they found the time to go out and practice other than once they got here?
I know. Like one thing we can't do here is play snow golf. You know what I mean? Like we don't get snow. We just get freezing temperatures.
Snow golf's not fun. So
nah, it wouldn't be my cup of tea.
Speaking of traveling, if I were to plan a trip to New Zealand, other than the championship course that you guys are putting in, what's another course that's like a must play?
There'd be a couple. I haven't gotten the chance to play it myself yet, but there is a course in Auckland called Balaraka, and that's a privately owned course by a man called Simon Feezy, who was New Zealand's number one guy for about 20 years. He created the disc golf company RPM. He's got a beautiful 18-hole course in his backyard. That's the spot. You know, that's where the disc golfers go. Huh? Yeah. We have a place in New Zealand called Paradise that was where, like, Lord of the Rings.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings was filmed there and stuff like that. They do a pop-up tournament out there once a year. That's pretty incredible. The disc golf second that weekend, just taking in nature and the scenery, is probably number one, you know, that weekend.
Right, playing on grounds where maybe some of Lord of the Rings was filmed. Oh, that sounds perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like sacred ground, you know what I mean? Like there's no cell phone coverage. You're out in the middle of New Zealand's island, just one with nature playing disc golf. It's quite therapeutic.
Yeah. That sounds awesome.
It is. So yeah, that'd be the two courses, two tournaments, you know, on the bucket list if you ever came over.
Gotcha.
There's more. Like, every tournament's special over here. They've all got special reasons for being tournaments, and they're always ran really well.
I was wondering about that. Is that, like, the community there is like that? Is it the people that make the tournaments so specialized?
I think it's the people.
Okay.
You know, like, New Zealand doesn't have states, but we have provinces and cities that, you know, each disc golf, there's a club pretty much in each one. And, you know, they go above and beyond to run good tournaments for everybody because they know that in return they'll get the same done for them when they travel.
What's your club called, or what club are you a part of?
Our club is Disc Golf South because we're at the bottom of the country, the south of the country. So we're just Disc Golf South, and small club, but not tooting the horn, but we have a reputation of running the best tournaments in the country, and we always try to raise the bar for other TDs to, you know, elevate their tournaments as well.
Shots fired.
Southside.
That's it.
That's funny. So we kind of touched on this a little bit earlier, but what are some New Zealand pros that we should be following and looking as, like, up and comers? Other than you, of course.
Other than me?
Yeah.
It would be, there is a junior, so nobody in New Zealand at the moment can go past our junior, Levi. His name's Levi Stout. He's actually part of Disc Golf South. He is the second highest rated player in the country. He's 15. Oh. He's just won the national tour.
So he's coming. He's coming for you guys.
Yeah, he's coming for the world, man. He only bags RPM discs, which are the New Zealand made ones.
Yep.
He gets around to every tournament in the country almost, and he, as of the last 6 months, has just started winning all of them. So he's probably the one to watch out for. I'd be very surprised if he's not over in the States in the next 2-3 years. He's Gannon Burr 2.0, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing him.
That's quite a statement.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd watch out for him. There's always, you know, a guy called Jackson Sullivan. He's another RPM member. I guess he works for RPM. He's been and played Pro Worlds a couple of times, and, you know, he's sitting on that 1,000 rated mark as well. He's just come off a knee injury. I know that he's trying to get back out into the States to play. So New Zealand's coming. We're just getting there.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure everything's still a little bit held behind from, you know, like, this was the first year that all the Europeans could come over.
Yeah, bro. Like, we can't even leave the country and come back at the moment. Yeah. It's, you know what I mean? Yeah. We just, it just is what it is.
Yeah. But once they can break out of New Zealand, it's over.
Yeah. That's
is the breakout easier to get, like, to the United States, or is it easier to, like, go through Europe?
I honestly don't even know. New Zealand Disc Golf put out feelers the other day for Team Worlds because New Zealand's got an invitation to go, and it's too much effort to get there. You know, you've got to isolate and manage yourself, and that's until October or November, I think, is when the restrictions ease. So it's just too much effort, and they're held in Croatia, so
not even worth it.
No,
nah, not yet, unfortunately.
Yeah. No.
But speaking of, like, traveling and getting out, I was talking to a couple of the New Zealand and other boys the other day, and we are going to try get to Vegas in a couple of years' time. Hell for the yeah. LVC.
That'd be sick.
Yeah.
It looks like it's a really fun time.
It looks like a good time over there for everyone except Beth.
Right.
Yeah. Look, it just looks like an epic course. I love the ball golf courses. Even though I find the woods easier to play in myself, I still love the idea of playing disc golf on a golf course.
Is that your preferred, like, overall place to play is a ball course, do you think? If you like had to pick a favorite.
If I had to pick a favorite, I'd say a golf course to. Just because there's less trees.
All right. Yeah.
But then it feels so much worse when you hit that one tree.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, true. It does. You know, there's 90% here and you still find that tree. Yeah.
So you keep up mostly with like the Disc Golf Pro Tour. Do you watch a lot of Jomez too?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So
how good were the putting games?
Oh, I enjoyed them. There's some people didn't like it.
But oh, really? I've only ever heard good things, eh? Like, we loved it over here. It's just, you know, fills that hole.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I felt about it. And I always enjoy, like, the interaction, like the off tournament interaction with pros where they're still competing, but they're having more fun.
Seeing the pros actually just being themselves.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Makes them into more of people.
Yeah. They're just humans, too. That can throw a disc way further than I can.
Right. Like, they're machines, but they're still people.
That's right.
So is there a media company for New Zealand Disc Golf? I think you talked about being on camera a little bit, but
yeah, yep, there is. They do really well on YouTube for their coverage. Actually, they're called Flexline Media. Give them a wee shout out. It's Chris. His name's Chris, and he does it all with his wife, and they are incredible. Just a 2-man crew, and they have amazing coverage, you know, thousands of views and stuff on YouTube.
Definitely going to check them out.
Not every tournament in New Zealand they get to, but they get to a lot of them and they get to the good ones, you know. Right. You can see how beautiful the country actually is and like the landscape.
Anyone covering it there is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they were disc golfers themselves and they're obviously quite tech savvy and they were like, let's film disc golf. And everybody, you know, feature cards, everybody wants to, you know, have a chance, and
right.
The league cards are always contested well, and it elevates the level of competition at the tournament having them there.
I just gotta throw a quick shout out to anybody who has like a passion for disc golf and decides to take it in like a way that doesn't just like help them, you know, like putting out media. I think that's always awesome for people like that, because I mean without that, people like that, we wouldn't be able to see everything that we see.
That's right. And they're doing New Zealand disc golf wonders, just getting it out into the world.
Yep.
See, otherwise you wouldn't know it was there.
Exactly.
Unless you went.
All right. I've had a lot of fun chats, but we got to break down to the brass tacks. What is your biggest oh no moment that's disc golf related?
Ooh.
Sometimes hurts some feelings to have to talk about.
It is hurting my feelings. There's one that's screaming to mind straight away, and it's a triple circle 10 at my first ever nationals.
Okay.
That's getting up. Yeah.
You need to get some tissues. No, just kidding.
So I've got some. I don't know. Definitely a triple circle 10. I have to go with that. So I'd just been picked up to be sponsored by NZDSS. So this is after my first year playing, and my first tournament for the year was nationals. It was, you know, I had high expectations, you know, representing being sponsored for the first time at a tournament. And I shot a triple circle 10 on a really not that difficult hole. 3 OBs, 7 shots. And then at the end of the tournament, you know, they had at prize giving, it was what's a sad story from the weekend to win a $50 voucher from the company that was sponsoring me.
Nice. So then you
so I had to announce my triple circle bogey in front of my new boss at prize giving to win a $50 voucher for the company that just started sponsoring me.
Oh man. That's a good one. I mean, it's sad.
Worth it.
Yeah, that's oh no.
Yeah.
Still to this day, my only 10 at a tournament.
That'll happen.
Yeah, that sounds difficult.
Hey, at least it's your only one, right? I mean,
well, it's the only one that, you know, comes to mind.
Right.
You know, and as long as you learn from it, it's science.
That's right. Like I've had a couple of rounds, you know, filmed for Flexline Media and stuff, and I shat the bed on one of those rounds. So that's a bit of an oh no. I think it was a sub 900 rated round. Not good on camera.
Hey, that's okay. We're all sub. Me and Kyle are sub 900 rated, so.
Yeah. All the time.
I made it a goal to just keep, you know, not shoot around like that.
Yeah.
You know, try to keep it consistently above my average and just, yeah.
It wasn't even
the cameras that threw, it wasn't the cameras that threw me off. It was, you know, running a tournament, newborn baby at home, brand new Innova sponsorship, just all crumbled me for that.
That's a lot going on.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, it's no excuses at the time. I still wanted to play well.
So it must have been that tournament that we chatted about 2 weeks ago then?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that was the South Island Disc Golf Championships. So we have, New Zealand's got two main islands, North Island, South Island. So we have North Island champs, South Island champs, and then nationals. Those are three majors.
Yeah. Well, now, what is your best performance on one of the national?
On the tour?
Or the majors or whatever.
My best performance easily would have been in the capital city, so in Wellington. I shot up there for a tournament. I was leading it after the rounds two and three. I was tied first after round one, leading solo lead round two, solo lead round three. And then round four was the guy chasing me. It was his home course. I had two shots on him. I got along with him really well. Like, we were vibing off each other really well for that final round, which was awesome. And we took off from everybody. I shot 1,007 rated round, and it came down to the last hole. It was about 300 feet uphill, and scores were tied. I rocketed a halo T-bird 3 up the hill, pin high, but about circle's edge, you know, to the right. And he was like 25 feet, 20 feet directly downhill. And I had to putt first, and I hit cage.
So you got a big, big bottom. Oh, yeah,
I hit cage and just dropped, and it didn't roll. It didn't roll down the hill.
Okay.
Thank fuck. It just sat.
Yeah. Right.
And he took his time, and he nailed the putt dead center. You know, that was it. I came second by one shot, but I was stoked. That was my first time having to play with a lead, be chased, try and defend the hometown boy off his own course, and I took him to the last hole.
Almost did it.
Yeah. The 72nd hole. Well, it was great.
Yeah.
That was my best ever, best tournament, best result, best rated rounds. Yeah. I think I averaged 990 for the
Do you weekend. Normally throw backhand or forehand?
I'm backhand dominant, easily backhand dominant. Yeah.
Is that the norm there?
No, I wouldn't say so. There's a lot of sidearm dominant players in New Zealand as well. Yep. But it's just a really good mix. There's quite a few ambidextrous bastards as well that throw both.
Oh, for sure. Some people are like, they can switch back and forth. I'm like, oh my gosh, how do you even?
They're incredible. You get thrown off. You watch them throw six shots off the tee right handed, and then one they'll bust out left handed, and you got to do a double take.
It's like, stop it.
Wait a minute.
You almost second guess yourself.
Right.
Then you got to bring it up because it's rude not to.
I'm backhand dominant too. So I was always like to, and I wonder for different places how they play.
What do you throw? You got a mixed bag or are you brand specific?
I do a mixed bag. Eric does too, I think, right?
Yeah. My favorite's Discmania, but I throw a lot of other stuff too.
Yep.
A lot of weird stuff in there.
I tell you what, I'm missing the tilt. Since I had to switch to an Innova only bag, I'm missing the tilt, and I'm missing my Cloudbreaker too, because it just flew different than Destroyers.
Oh, yeah. I feel definitely. Like you can probably find a Destroyer that'll fit, just because there's so many runs of Destroyers, but it's about finding that exact one.
The closest one I found so far is a Philo Tour Series one. And it's about 170 gram, and it does what the Cloudbreaker does. I'm just not used to it yet.
Right.
That is super interesting. I didn't even think about that, switching to an all-in of a bag.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I was predominantly a Niva, but already because that was what I was working towards, but I had to swap out a few molds. I had to swap out a Hades.
Okay.
I had to swap out a Tilt, which cannot be swapped out. And Cloudbreaker 2s. What else? Oh, I used to throw a PD2 as well.
Cloudbreaker 2s are made by Innova. So are PD2s. You can't throw those.
So as far as I'm aware, up until this year, you used to be able to throw the originals. And okay. It looks like from now you can't. So
gotcha.
Unless just going over like the way the contract looked like.
Yeah.
Heimberg can throw Millennium because he's got that signature mold.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so there is loopholes, but you know, I'm a bit off signature mold, I think. Right. So if I had to have one though, it'd be a T-Brick 3, 100%.
Gotcha. You try those Anthony Barella Glow T-Bird 3s are money. I haven't thrown one yet, but
oh, I haven't even heard of them.
Yeah, they're like his two. I think they were his tour series last year and this year. And a couple of my friends here throw them, and they dig them.
I love the Halo ones. I'm not one for collecting. I'm one for throwing. Like, I have nice discs that cost a bit of money, and I just throw the shit out of them.
I'm with it.
Yeah,
same. Yeah,
I understand the collecting side of things, but you know, I got a pretty disc. I want to throw it.
Pretty discs fly better.
That's right.
So what is, like, is it easy to find new stock there? Like, I know you've talked about the shop that kind of got you hooked up with Innova, but is it easy to get, like, the new stuff when it comes out? Or, like, how long are you guys waiting before it?
We are waiting, but it's not that hard to get stuff, the new stuff. It is expensive to get the new stuff, though.
Ah, that's what it is.
So, like, Halo plastic retails in New Zealand for about $60.
Whew.
Yeah. Thanks. And that's because shipping from the States is ridiculous. And
do you guys have customs?
We have taxes at customs now as of a couple of years ago. And they get you really good.
Damn.
You know, I just won a disc off a guy in the States, you know. I'm on the a Macbeth and Page Pierce collectors page. And
I'm on there too.
They do like the ridiculous bin day, I think, and one of the things was like guess a number and you can win this disc. So I just guessed a random number and I won it. He's like, he was happy as to send it over to me, and I said, bro, I'm just gonna tell you right now, I'll pay for shipping.
Right.
He's like, oh, it can't be that bad. And he's like, oh, it's $30.
Yep.
$30. And I was like, yep, no worries, I'll flip them through $47. So okay.
You're used to it now.
Yeah, I'll sort it out for you.
That sucks though.
Yeah. I tell you one thing I'm stoked about is Innova with the team order, because we get, you know, team stamp discs and stuff. We don't have to pay anything. They're covering the shipping costs, which is nuts.
Wow.
That's
wonderful.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. Like it's a good deal to have, you know what I mean? It's not like you wear our logo, but you know, pay for shipping and pay for your t-shirts. They really support you and actually give you everything off their own back.
Okay. I mean, that's awesome. It gives you an opportunity to focus on the things that are important then, like your game.
Exactly.
Instead of having to worry about that.
Don't have to like financially worry about, you know, paying $400 shipping to get discs over to New Zealand and
right.
They support us and do that for us.
Well, shout out Innova.
Shout out Innova. Have you boys got anybody in the States throwing RPM? I'm going to shout out them too, New Zealand brand that you know of.
That throw what? Sorry.
RPM.
RPM.
When I bought these, Fisher Disc Golf does the stacks thing, and I won 3 RPM discs through them, and gave them out as CTP prizes at leagues. The same one guy won them. His name's David Johnson. Won all 3 of them, and that's the majority of his bag now.
Is it? That's cool to hear.
Yeah, and then Eric Oakley, too, just started throwing some RPM.
Yep. He's throwing a Cortelli.
Yep. I couldn't think of the name of it offhand.
The pronunciation's quite funny, because they're all the RPM discs are named after, like, native birds, which are have Māori names, and you know, people from the States throw them, and they call it a kotari or a kotari, but the pronunciation of them always gets lost, which is fine, you know, it's just a language right. thing. But yeah, they're all named after native birds and stuff like that, which is cool. And the stamp designs are like the shapes of the birds with traditional New Zealand designs on them.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Another fun fact, this craft Raptor was, they bought the rights to the disc name Raptor off RPM.
Ah.
Because New Zealand had a RPM Raptor, and this craft were like, hey, we like that name.
That's crazy. So what disc is the Raptor? Like, what is the, what did they change it to?
In New Zealand, they changed it to a Kiwi.
Okay.
And they do different runs of Kiwi. You know, there's Kiwi S, Kiwi OS.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's very different. Like, they didn't try and, like...
No, they didn't go with new names and new, you know? They didn't call
nothing
it...
Nothing similar.
A Roadrunner and a Sidewinder. They were Kiwi S, Kiwi OS. You know, you got Kahu. Kahu is a driver, distance driver. It's like a destroyer, but they have Kahus, and then they have Kahu XGs, which are extra glidey ones.
XG.
Also very hard to come by now.
Huh. But you don't have to worry about it, because you're Innova. So
that's there right. That's right.
But yeah, that is really cool. The RPM is such a... I did not realize that it was such a, like, you know, that state.
They had a bit yeah. of, like, a bit of a reputation stateside.
Yeah.
Yeah, Infinite Discs buys thousands of them, like a shipping container full of RPM, and loads their website up with them, because they can't, they don't have enough to keep up with the demand for them over there, which is great.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yes, I'm just gotta give them a wee shout out while I can on an international right. level.
Yeah.
So you talked a little bit about wanting to make it over to LVC. What other countries are on your bucket list for disc golf?
Honestly, none. Like, the States is where disc golf is. I would love to go to the Disc Golf Islands in Finland. That would be cool. Disc golf. Whatever that place is called. All right, so
dream course in the United States?
To play at?
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to sound...
Non-tournament, you know, just...
Non-tournament.
It could be like a tournament location if you want, but, like, you know, it doesn't have to have the pressure of a tournament on it.
The one that comes to mind is... I'm going to make a dick of myself here. I can't even think what it's called, but it's got the big water tower. Is it Eureka?
The what? Sorry.
Lake Eureka?
Yeah,
the water tower.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one. I can always, when I've watched the cover, right? They had, is that Ledgestone?
I think it's Ledgestone.
Google it, Eric.
Yeah, it's called Lake Eureka Disc Golf Course.
Yeah, so like that course always looks really good, you know, watching coverage on Gomez. It's a place, a course that I'd like to play. I'd also like, Maple Hill comes to mind. That's just a given. Is it Northwoods Gold and Black? Just love to get my ass kicked by a course like that.
Yeah.
Hit some trees, for sure.
Hit some trees. Yeah. Like, there's heaps, man. I'd go to the States for a year and still not play all the courses I want to play over there, probably. Just ticky-touring around.
I mean, I've lived here for 28, and I haven't played all the courses in Michigan I want to play, so.
I'd love to go to, like, the Innova Factory. If I went to the States, I'd love to go to a disco factory.
Oh, yeah.
Not as it has to be Innova. It could be any factory, man, and just have a look at the production line and just see a warehouse full of discs. Like, I'd be in heaven. I'd be walking around with a chubby.
Just touching all the plastic.
Yeah.
Same.
I'd love to meet some pros. I'd love to meet pros. I'd also love to, like, meet locals that just and play around with the locals of the course, if you know what I mean, because it's almost more special than just going for it and playing with a pro, like play with the people that keep the course the way it is.
Right.
And you can just see, like, some of the local guys are so passionate about, like, their home course. It's fun to see them, like, show you it and be like, oh, yeah, you know, there's this line, and there's also, you could throw this line as well, type thing.
Yeah. Right, and they can go you back through the years too, be like, yeah, we changed it from this and this and this and this and this.
Yeah, yeah. If your disc goes in the water, they'll probably just dive in for it for you.
Right.
Not in Florida. They don't do that in Florida.
No, not in Florida. No.
Only Heimberg.
You got crocodiles and shit over there. Fuck that.
Yeah, I don't gotta worry about it in Michigan.
Too now. No thanks.
Man, I think what's our deadliest animal here? We might get a bee sting on a disc golf course. That would be about it.
Oh, so you're not like, you don't have the same crazy animals that are in Australia?
Nope, we got nothing. Oh, we don't have snakes. Our biggest spider would be less than the size of your palm, easily.
Man. That sounds great.
Yeah, no snakes, no...
Nothing crazy like that?
Nah, nothing, man, nothing.
No, we're full on fuck snake here.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with snakes, but...
Nope. I don't have a problem with them, but if I seen one, I would probably shit myself.
Hard pass.
That's the element of surprise they have over here.
We have snakes here, and I don't particularly like it.
On your courses?
You know, not if you don't think about it. Yeah, no. Yeah.
Don't,
sure.
don't think too hard when you, yeah. you know, go off the fairway and have to go looking.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, for sure. No, there's no snakes out there.
It's good mentality to have.
Yeah, but yeah, no, that's really cool. I didn't know that about New Zealand.
What's like your tournaments? Are you tournaments every weekend in your states, or are you once a month? Or
definitely depends on where you are.
I think there's always tournaments going on, but yeah, it depends on how far you want to drive each weekend for a tournament.
Yeah, you don't want to get to the mall. You don't try to stay close to home.
Yeah. This year so far, I've played two tournaments in this year, so I do about maybe once a month. But
yeah,
if I wanted to drive like 2 hours, 2.5 hours, I could easily get to like one tournament a weekend, like no problem.
Yeah, I wish I could do that. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Luckily, I live in an awesome scene. I could probably hit it multiple tournaments a weekend if I wanted to.
Yeah, because you'll have daily tournaments, won't you? Like one tournament on a Saturday, one on a Sunday.
That's it. Yep. Yeah, they call them flex starts here, so you can basically start whenever you want.
Yeah, get a group and away you go, eh?
Mm-hmm.
There was one tournament last year that had that, which was cool.
It's a fun format.
Yeah, definitely. They had it for the practice day, so the practice day before the tournament actually was flex start, and then the tournament itself was, you know...
A regular shotgun, but...
Shotgun Saturday, tee time Sunday.
Yeah, most of the bigger tournaments are like that, but it's, you know, the smaller ones, they allow a flex, which is nice.
Yeah, definitely. We have like a different set of rules over in anywhere but America and Canada, I think. But PDGA has exemptions for heaps of things just so that other smaller countries can run events.
Right. And don't have to jump through all the hoops.
No, not as much. No, it's a lot more relaxed because they need the sport to grow first, I think, before they
can. Yeah, sure. Before you get picky.
yeah, definitely.
Get people to pick up the disc first.
You know, like you can run a B tier over here and your cash payout doesn't have to be as much, but you still need to keep like professionalism of the course.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. Like we had an A tier here last year and there was people playing in singlets and shit. And I'm like, oh, yep, that's happening.
Oh.
Like I know it's
it's just like, oh shit,
I know it's small, but it's like, you know, to be an A tier you've got to be Colin.
Did you read the rules?
It's funny.
But yeah, I guess it's just one of those little things because we're not in the States, you can get away with it.
Yep, they just want people playing.
I feel like the community varies definitely state to state, wherever you are too. You know, the bigger community, you know, bigger cities have bigger communities. It's like that anywhere, really.
Yeah, makes sense.
So do you want to share with us what goals you might have for this year and if there's any big obstacles in your way for those goals?
Yeah, yep. The biggest obstacle in my way this year would definitely be a newborn child.
Kids are so difficult.
My first one, wee girl, she was...
Congratulations.
Yeah, congrats. Yeah,
thank you. She was 7 weeks early, so...
Oh, wow.
She wasn't small, though, which was good, but we spent a bit of time in hospital just till she got a bit bigger.
Right.
And then, you know, come out of hospital, and then I was right into the tournament, which I'd been preparing. So that's... At the moment, she's a bit of an obstacle, but the missus is very good with my disc golf. You know, she wants me to keep playing and elevating and succeeding.
Good to hear.
Yep. Like, couldn't,
she's a supportive person for you.
Couldn't do it without her. My goals this year, I would like if I don't win a tournament, I want to place a lot. I want, you know, top fives, top tens. I want cash payouts. I want average round ratings of 960, 50 plus. And that's all we need over here, you know, because the ratings is different, I think, to,
yeah,
right,
to win sure. over here. The average winner is, you know, 980, 990 for the four rounds.
Yeah.
And I can do that. I just need to focus and practice and keep doing that. So that's my goal. My goal is to stay with Innova, like, you know, make it through this year and have them keep me on. I don't want to be a one-hit wonder. Definitely get a win. Get a win's the biggest one. I didn't hang around in the advanced division over here. I just went, I did a couple tournaments and just went to open. I was like, if I'm going to do this, we're going to do it properly. I'm going to play with the big boys and learn off them and watch them.
Do you, that's my, what actually I was about to get to. Do you have any mentors that are really helping you get to the next level?
Yep, I do. I'll give, there's a guy in Christchurch. He was my coach pretty much for a while. We had a team coach. His name's Cameron Hubbard. He's like the sensei to me of disc golf in New Zealand. He's got a lot of young boys and shit in Christchurch like look up to him, and they, you know, they want to learn off him and play rounds with him. And he lives in a different city than me, but we talk regularly, almost daily, about life and disc golf and everything. And he's been like a really good calm at tournaments, you know, when I'm swimming in a shit storm and all that sort of stuff. So he's definitely a mentor and like a good friend, you know what I mean? Just on my journey.
Absolutely. So nice to have people like that around you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all off his own back too. You know what I mean? He doesn't expect anything.
Those are the best type of people.
Yeah. I've given him gifts, you know, like, because I want to. Like, I know he likes FDs, and when those Night Strike 3s came out, I got him one.
Oh.
Just little
sounds
stuff
like my
there.
Kind of guy.
Yeah. He bags cool discs, man. Like, he's got about 20 prototype Lunas. That's his putters. He's got Night Strikes. He's got proto Kongs for his drivers. Just loves that oddball shit.
Right.
MD3s.
Oh. MD3s are too expensive for my taste, but I can get me some Night Strikes.
Yeah. Yeah. So he would be a mentor, definitely.
Hell yeah. Good to hear. Sounds like you have a good battle plan, you know?
Yeah, I got a good base, you know. It's up to me to now do it, if that makes sense. Like, I've been given, like, I feel like I have earned it, but I've also been given a ridiculous opportunity to be a good disc golfer in New Zealand, and now I have to make the most of it and do it.
You've earned it, but you're thankful.
Yeah, definitely.
I dig it. Well, I hope you do amazing.
Yeah, we'll be rooting for you. We'll be
when does
you.
Your season start? Or like,
it doesn't really stop, to be fair. We don't. The points season is, I think it's June till May. But the tournaments never stop. Well, I say they never stop. It's a couple of months. All year round.
Yeah. Is it like enough tournaments to where you could be like touring there? Or is it like...
No, definitely no. not. Not okay. Not yet. It's not even financially viable. You know what I mean, like,
sure.
you don't go to a tournament and come out of it up, even if you come first.
Okay.
Wow. Some tournaments you come up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, travel is expensive. Flights, accommodation is normally sorted by my sponsors, which was great. But you know, it's still skin off your own back, time off work, stuff
absolutely.
Like that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We just play it because we love it.
Hey, at least you know you're good at it. That's why we're oh no. So,
trying to be good at it.
A lot of our audience is like us. We're like in the beginner / intermediate level. If there's one piece of advice you could share with us and them, what would it be?
Putt.
Help us out.
Putt.
Putt. Okay, I can do that.
So just putt.
Just putt.
Yeah,
get good at putting. Just. Don't get angry with putting. Like, you gotta enjoy putting. And then once you start enjoying putting, it'll come. Like, my biggest thing was getting angry at putts that were missing that I knew I should be making and taking that to the next hole. So I guess that segues into like mentality. if you want to get better at tournament play, you have to be mentally strong, because you will do dumb shit, and you will get angry about that dumb shit, and you need to let it go at that basket. You cannot take that to the next tee pad.
Nope.
And that's what's helped me heaps. Like, honestly, like the rounds that I've walked away not feeling the greatest, I'm still not showing that anymore. I'm saying, it could have been better, but it was all right, you know, because everybody, I'm not sure what the etiquette is at your tournaments, but tell you what, I get sick of hearing 40 times, how'd your round go? How'd you go? How'd your round go? But you know what I mean? It's, the mentality has got to be up there. You look at guys like, you know, Macbeth and Ricky, they get frustrated and they show it, and then they go and park a 500 foot hole next tee.
Like it's nothing.
Yeah, they leave it behind. They leave it at the last hole. And that's what I'm trying to do. I've definitely noticed my game get better as I've gotten more mentally strong.
Have you checked out the book Zen Golf? Have you read that? Or
no, I haven't. I've heard, but I have not delved any further.
Good read.
Does sound like a good read. I'm really into the mentality side of the things. I don't do yoga or, you know, meditate or anything. I just try to stay focused and clear mind. Sometimes a little bit of music in the ears while I'm playing.
Yeah, I found I have like a 4-song playlist that I keep in my ear, and I play it like so quietly it almost just becomes like a little bit of background noise, and it's like perfect because it just reminds me to take that like one extra second before I like throw or putt or whatever, and just clear my mind quick before I execute.
You got to. That reminds me of something to actually say is you ask about advice and stuff, and that's breathing. As dumb as it sounds, breathing. not just breathing to live, breathing to focus and relax. Like, prime example, playing a tournament, had two absolutely terrible rounds on day one, had a quick phone call with the coach that night. That was where he, you know, taught me about breathing and trying it this way. And the next round, the next morning, went out and shot the second hottest round for that event. It was like 990 rated. And all I did different was breathe. After a bad shot, I'd just look away and about 4 or 5 deep breaths and then in the nose, out the mouth. And it calmed enough to reset for that next shot.
Now that is some sensei wisdom right there.
That's right. We call him Kung Fu Cam.
That's awesome.
He's built like Po from Kung Fu Panda, so he's Kung Fu Cam.
Oh, gotcha. Wow. That's good stuff. Is there anything that we kind of missed that you wanted to talk about? We can try to word it in a question quick.
That's up to you guys. If you want to talk about discs or, I don't know, a bag or...
Yeah, why don't you break it down? What do you bag? Yes, that sounds awesome. Like, what's all in your bag? Innova sponsored. What makes up, like, what do you putt with?
What I putt with? I putt with Yeti Pros. Okay. Yeti Pro AVRs. Specific color. They have to be the baby blue, bubblegum blue ones. I don't like the other colors.
Dang. Real specific. That's all right. I dig it.
Yeah. I like it. I got 10 of them in that color, and I've got probably another 10 in pink and orange and that I use at home. You know,
were you putting with them before Team Innova?
Yes. Yes. I was, when I started disc golf, I putted with Pures, and then I switched to Yeti Pros probably 2 years ago and love them. I throw them, I putt with them. It's the only putter I throw besides a pig. I bag pigs.
Everyone loves a pig.
Yeah. I love my 2021 Ricky pigs. I got a few of them now.
Oink, oink, oink.
Well, then you must have been pretty excited to hear that Bradley Williams would at least pick up the pig, so you wouldn't have to worry about running out of stock.
Definitely. Well, I was actually going to inquire about a Bray Marsden pig, but Bradley jumped the gun on me there, so I couldn't.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah. So what are we doing? Where are we at? Putters moving up the bag. I have one star Stingray.
Oh, good luck and finding more of those.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. And that is it's a very special disc. I don't throw it much, but it is my get out of the woods shit card. this.
For sure.
Gotcha.
I have a friend who has one too. So flippy.
Yeah, very flippy. I love it though. I don't start very often, as I said, but it's a get out of the woods card that I need in that bag. My mid ranges, I'm very rock three dominant. I find rock threes to be really inconsistent by all rocks. There's so many of them, but the ones that I've got heavy ones and I've got a couple of light ones, and I cycle them, you know, shot dependent, wind dependent, stuff like that.
Right.
I do bag a Mako 3 as well, which is just a point and shoot.
Such a nice laser beam. Shot.
Yeah. I definitely rate them over buzzers, and that's before Innova. You know what I mean? I had buzzers and I just couldn't click with them the way I could with a Mako.
Yeah, we don't like buzzers here either, don't worry.
Yeah, yucky. best selling disc in the world, yucky. Where are we? I got my fairways are pretty easy. It's just Leopard 3s and T-Bird 3s.
Okay.
That's it. I got Champ Leopard, G-Star Leopards, Halo T-Birds, Star T-Birds. Different degrees of beaten than this, but yep, they're just the workhorses.
Right.
And then I've got Champ Firebird 2021 Sexy Bird, which is really glidey. I couldn't get over how, like, not stable they were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you gotta get the regular Firebirds for that.
Yeah, so that's what the Champ one's in there for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My only drivers, I have one Champ Boss. So I've ordered a couple more Bosses because I do like the Boss, but the Champ Boss is in place of the PD2 that I had to swap out.
Okay.
And I have about 20 Destroyers and about 6 in the bag. Pro Destroyer, that's flippy.
Real.
And then, yeah. And then I got a Paul Macbeth 4x Destroyer that's like 162 grams. So that's like, it's a weapon with tailwind and stuff like that. And
oh, yeah.
I got a Philo Destroyer that's, you know, trying to replace the Cloudbreaker 2. And then I've got like 3 standard Star Ricky ones.
It would have been cool when Ricky left. You could have just like put a little note in there like, hey, give me those Destroyers when he leaves, maybe.
Yeah. I actually just got 2 discs off Ricky. I messaged him on Facebook and bought 2 discs off him back before Worlds last year. And
oh, sick.
I didn't get them until a week ago.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's shipping from the US to New Zealand for you.
That's ridiculous. It's like a 22-hour flight from where I'm at, so that makes sense, but...
I know, it was unreal. But yeah, I got him to sign them because I wanted, you know, I got a Sockybot Destroyer off him because I wanted him to sign it. That's one I will just keep on the wall, especially now that he's switched to Trilogy again. And I got a T-Bird 3 off him that I chucked in the bag that he signed as well. It's my good mojo disc.
Hell yeah.
He'd be my favorite pro. Would be
okay, Ricky. That's cool. Now he left you.
I know, he's left me. I messaged him on Messenger when they arrived and said thank you. And then he said sorry for the delay. And I said, sorry, you're with Trilogy because I just got picked up by Team Innova. And he said congratulations and all that. He's a good dude about it.
Yeah,
I talked to him about it a year ago, and he said to just keep grinding and working towards it. So I did, and we got there.
Oh yeah. For most of the people on tour, seem like pretty nice guys. I can't say any
definitely.
Of them come off as a huge dick or anything.
Nah, you don't even get that. I remember when I first started playing, I was a Macbeth fanboy. Got my 5X Lunar and all that, Crystal Lunar, and he would reply to my Instagram stories and say thanks and whatnot. So
yeah,
just a good dude.
Yeah, that's what I think is the coolest about disc golf, is it's still so small that all the pros are so reachable and, you know, works with the community.
They want to be reached out to, you know what I mean? Like they obviously enjoy it and they like sharing the love around.
Yeah, for sure.
And they get that it's all building each other up so that then you can build others up too.
Like that's right.
It's all good.
Keep the next generation.
So if Innova's listening, this is all allegedly, but what if you just like wipe your Cloudbreaker 2 stamp and write Destroyer on it? No one will know.
No. I guess so. Like I have it's, I haven't thought about doing that, but I've thought about, like, what if people do that? And you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. All alleged. Yeah.
Allegedly. Like, if they would wipe, I don't know, a zone stamp off and keep it wiped off, and you know what I mean, and throwing it. Like, I don't know why you'd want to. Like, if a company's taking you on,
that's true.
You know what I mean?
You should want just rep that.
Yeah, support them and rep that. I definitely can't do that because I made the smart decision to just sell and trade all my non-Innova discs.
You got rid of all of the...
Not going to throw these anymore? No use for me.
Can't do it.
This will be like blasphemy, but I traded a Cloudbreaker 2 for a Socky Pig.
I mean, depending on how much a Socky Pig goes for over there, it might not be such a bad deal.
Oh, yeah, they don't go for much. The market's not big over here for collector items. It's getting there, but it's not huge. But it was a beaten in Cloudbreaker with ink that the guy that wanted it froze them, and I needed more Ricky Pigs, so happy trade. Oh.
So out of all the courses you have seen on tour in the United States, which course looks most like a New Zealand course, like a good, like a top-level New Zealand course? I know nothing will be exactly the same, but no, closest can get.
That's a great question.
I mean, we'll just have to go and watch.
Yeah.
Flick Lines Media, is that what it's called, right?
Flicks Line.
Yeah, we'll have to go watch that just to get a better idea, but...
Definitely do. If you have some spare time, watch some Flexline Media. Their latest stuff, not the older stuff's great too, but the stuff in the last 18 months is top notch.
Gotcha.
Same with us. Don't go listen to our first episode.
Yeah. Well, you got through the first year, boys. That's awesome. Ah, of course it's similar. Shit, I don't know. Every New Zealand course is so unique. And from each other, but they're also unique from the rest of the world, if that makes sense.
It does.
Yeah.
Like, one day, one tournament, you'll be, you know, at the park in the middle of town, and then the next tournament, you are secluded from the world at the base of the Southern Alps mountain range with beautiful blue lakes all around you and sunshine. So,
I think that's one of the most beautiful parts of disc golf itself, is that it does fit anywhere.
Where it takes you, eh?
And it doesn't take away from the natural beauty of wherever you are.
No, you leave bugger all footprint. Yeah, sorry, I can't answer that properly because I don't think anything compares.
Well, that's okay. We'll just have to, us and the listeners, will have to check out Flick Lines Media.
Flicks.
That's what I thought. Isn't that what I said?
Flicks. I don't know if it's the, accent.
Eric's not great at accents. Flex
line. Like, you know, if you throw in an overstated disc, you throw it on a flex line.
Yep.
Do you call them flex lines?
Flex line?
You call them, F-L-E-X.
Yeah, flex. I got you.
Ah, flex.
All right.
I was saying, sorry. Like you flick a disc, like a F-L-I-C-K.
Flex now you flex line it.
Media.
Totally gotcha.
Sorry, yep. That's the Kiwi accent.
It's okay. Like that, it's... That's communication.
That's what makes us awesome.
Yeah, I love it.
It's so funny.
Yes, definitely check them out. That's top notch.
We will. I will. Eric, absolutely. He's going like back in time and looking at like young versions of people right now.
I'm my own boss. I work for, I'm my own, like own a dog grooming company. And so I literally spent all my time watching YouTube content while grooming the dogs. Like, that's all I do like all day. So
you're giving him a lot of content.
That I haven't gotten to watch yet is always just like, yeah, cool. That's what I'm watching all this week.
Yeah, nice.
So really quick, where can our audience check you out or where can they follow your journey?
Yep. So I'm on Instagram at Bray_NZDSS, so just Bray_NZDSS, so that's where I post frequently-ish disc golf tournaments and fieldwork journeys and all that. I'm on TikTok as well. I just started doing it to try and, you know, make some disc golf-related content, and that's just @BrayMarsden, one word. yeah, that's where I am.
I love it. Go follow him. It'll be in the show notes.
We'll be following and waiting for you to get your Tour Series pig.
Yes, thank you. That's Tour Series pig, Tour Series T-Bird 3. Let's go. And Innovate, let's go.
Yeah, I can't wait to follow along this coming year and see, keep up with you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Yeah. I try to post, you know, every tournament, like a review of my how I went and some photos from the event and whatnot, how I felt during it.
Well, it was wonderful chatting with you.
Thanks for coming on, bro. Have a good one.
Yeah, it was nice meeting you, and thanks for chatting with us.
Cheers, boys. Thank you for having me. Thank you to everyone listening.
What a wonderful interview.
Who knew New Zealand had such a wonderful, rich disc golf community?
That dude was awesome.
Yes, he hooked us up with a promo code to provide to all of our New Zealand listeners. It is through NZDSS, one of his sponsors. All orders must be phoned in, and the code is ONO Disc Golf. And I think it gets you 10% off, but he wasn't a... Maybe it's more. So head
Don't
on over.
Don't ask for more. Be happy with 10.
Yeah, call into NZDSS if you are from New Zealand and, you know, support Braden. Because he's a pretty cool guy, and I hope to have him on in the future. Can't speak.
3, 2, 1.
Top 5.
Oh, yeah.
For our top 5. For our Nailed top 5 it. This week, we... chose to tell you guys what we think Disc Golf Network did right this tournament with some constructive criticism on what we think they could do better. Starting off with number 5, I really enjoyed the live drone footage. It was kind of cool to see the crowd and just kind of see like the lay of the land a little bit more other than just kind of focused shots from like Agreed. Catch cams.
I like it when it's like setting up a shot. I'm not exactly loving it when it's like, I don't know, showing drives and stuff. It can be kind of disorienting. They tried to do that a couple times and it was really confusing. But other than that, I think it was great.
Yeah, I liked it when it was like kind of like towards the end of like MPO footage for the day, coverage for the day. They'd kind of show like the lead card walking up, you know, because that was the only card they had on.
Yeah.
That was nice to see it like that, because that's when, like, the crowd was the biggest, because everyone was there to watch. Yeah, so. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Document.
I don't take this, if you're listening, Disc Golf Network, don't take this as do it a lot, you know.
Don't say if they're listening.
Don't overdo it with the live drone footage.
Yeah, it's good to a point.
Mm-hmm. I love the choice of commentators. I very much enjoyed Elaine King. She made some comments that probably weren't the best for live coverage, but...
Let's hear it, Eric. What did she say?
Live and you learn. What'd
she say?
They were talking about, I think it was Evelina. I think she's Finnish. They were talking about Finland and one of the competitors from Finland. And Ian Anderson goes, you know, Finland is the happiest country, you know, on the planet. And she goes, I think they have the highest suicide rate. And it was just like, it was so automatic. It's almost like she was thinking about it the whole time. Again, I don't think that makes her like a bad commentator. I think she made a weird comment. Which
I think
will
it's a
happen.
Better, she's a better commentator because she knew a random fact like that. Yeah. And decided to state it.
Yep.
On live television.
Sure did. She wanted to make sure everyone knew.
Pretty sure they kill themselves the most. So you should know that.
Yeah.
They're not happy, bitch.
Then it was like, it was funny because they went on to talk about it even more. Whereas, like, I would have just kind of, okay, On to the next
pass.
On to the next subject. No more of this, but that's all right. I thought it was hilarious. She said something else too, but now I can't remember what it was.
Ian Anderson made a joke about underage drinking with Gannon. Whatever. What was his name?
Gannon Burr.
Fuck. Who was I thinking of?
Gavin Rathbun, maybe.
But there you go. Damn it.
He's 23, so.
Gavin. There's one more. There's one more person.
Cole Redolin's pretty young.
Balls. I can't remember.
Oh, okay. All right.
Number three. More cameras to catch as many shots as possible.
Yeah, so I think they had a lot more cameras out on it. It seems like they caught as much footage as they could. But I also think they probably have some rookies out there this tournament. There was some where they didn't quite know how to follow the shot as well as others. So once they
didn't seem like they're A team.
Yeah, so, which again, I think they just probably got as many people as they could that were had at least a little bit of training or a little bit of like hands-on experience, and think it'll get better as the year goes on, as it usually does.
Agreed.
And then, for number two, I think it would be better for them to have a free first day than a free last day. One, it kind of gets people more pumped up to watch the rest of it.
Meaning like two, paid for versus not paid for.
Yeah, like watch it on YouTube. You know, like have the first day on free on YouTube and then try to get them paid for the last day. Because that's when all the cool stuff happens. And you can't really advertise as look at what you missed out when nobody missed out on it, which is fine. Or make it all free. You know, y'all want to watch
it. Or make it all paid.
I guess. I'm going to pay for it either way, so I really don't care. Unless it gets like crazy expensive, then I might have to stop.
Yeah.
And just watch Don't Miss. But that's okay. Now, Kyle's favorite part about the Disc Golf Network, for our honorable mention, are the Disc Golf Network commercials jumping the Shark Tank. What say you?
I think there was too many of them this year. I think that's the horse was beaten to a pulp. Not nice.
He called me crying one day because all of the commercials.
I was just like frustrated because I don't know. The lack of, I don't know, the diversity is the wrong word.
Flavors.
Not options, but like
no
variability.
Yeah, there you go.
It was just like the same fucking six commercials over and over again. I kept being like, oh, you know, we pay for this, but it was free for most of it. But I don't know, man. There shouldn't be as many commercials for something that you pay for. That's gross.
I noticed there was a lot of commercials, but I'm always good at kind of feeling like I ignore them.
He's very good at it. I'm so bad at it.
What I do want to know is, Innova, because I know you're listening, why did you make a commercial where you can't even tell that it's really an Innova commercial?
Honestly, I didn't know it was an Innova commercial until you told me, Eric.
Yeah, like the three times that I really paid attention to it, because I was literally trying to figure out what it was for, I was like, is this just a Nate and Big Germ commercial? Because we all know who they are. That's why we're, you know, that's part of why we're here.
It's so confusing.
It was funny. It was funny for me.
It was a good commercial the first time. The 60th time, it was like, how quickly can I hit the mute button?
Anyway, enough of the negatives. On to our last positive.
Sorry, that's all my bad.
You're good. On to our number one favorite thing that Disc Golf Network did this season, or this tournament, and planning to do all season, is they put FPO on their own separate coverage as MPO, and boy, was it amazing. And we asked for that last year.
We did. You're welcome, everyone.
Yep. It's only because we said something.
We asked, and they listened.
Yep. No, it made watching FPO much more fun, and it made watching MPO better, because they weren't jumping from FPO side to MPO side and letting it all get all mixed up on the middle cards. So
didn't feel rushed. Felt like they both had their spotlight, and it was great.
Yep.
Well done.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Disc Golf Network. And that was our top five. And that concludes episode 57, where we talked about the LVC. We interviewed Braden Marsden from New Zealand. And for our top five, we did our top five favorite things that Disc Golf Network did this tournament.
Dude, Braden was awesome, wasn't he?
Yes, he was very enjoyable. I can only imagine what the rest of the crew over in New Zealand's like.
Can't wait to meet more international people. That was like way too much fun.
Oh yeah, just hearing about disc golf life on the other side of the world,
it's pretty sweet.
Oh, for sure.
Thank you for listening, everyone. If you made it this far in the episode, as always, you're a beautiful fucking person. Maybe leave a review or something if you're listening on a service that allows that. Hooray.
And thanks for tuning in. We will see you guys next week.
And we'll catch you on the flip side.